Hey everybody, welcome to your Friday, July 25th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that isn't attending San Diego Comic-Con. Well, probably not the only one attending, I don't know. There may be others there. If they are, reach out to us, we might want some stuff. Joining me this week is Mike Lemieux.
Hi.
And no one else, because everyone's gone.
I'm here, that's the important thing.
Greg is...
dead.
Yeah, not in San Diego. Robin is in San Diego. Though not for Comic-Con, for unrelated reasons.
That was such a hilarious story of his family freaking out at, like, hotel prices, and then him having to point out, yeah, you sort of picked a really bad weekend.
I mean, I've had that problem before, like, I'm just making travel. It's like, no, this is the national, like, the Briefcase Association of America's week in the city.
You want to talk about bad timing? I was at an anime convention last weekend, selling. Like, I had a booth with my girlfriend selling plushies. And I went for a walk outside because it was super hot inside, and it was held at a community center, and outside they were setting up for a wedding. Keep in mind, this is as, like, a shirtless Akuma cosplayer is walking around next to, like, a My Little Pony cosplayer, and a whole bunch of pissed-off-looking old people in suits just glaring around at everybody. So
I think I've seen that, like, in my days of going to anime cons, I've seen, like, poorly decided upon ancillary events next to it. Like, there was, God, what was it? I think it was, like, a romance writers convention one year. Which is obviously just, like, the worst kind of people you'd ever see next to the other worst kind of people you'd ever see.
I mean, I can see where they were coming from of, oh, we're gonna have this wedding, like, and we're gonna have, like, a nice view of the water. It'll be beautiful. Should we ask that building if there's anything going on that weekend? Nah, it's fine. I had heard from other people, though, that it was hilarious to sit and watch the photographer try to pan around cosplayers. Like, when he was videotaping, they were saying he was just like, whoa, up at the sky, and then back down, because they don't want any, you know, kill-la-kill people in their wedding videos.
Well, of course, because then you have to add don't lose your way, otherwise it would be pointless.
Also, all the wedding dress symbolism.
Yep. All right. Do we have any house cleaning?
Nothing was canceled this week, but the chopping block is over.
The genocide of Jump manga is ending for a little while.
Well, the opposite thing is happening now. The Golden Future Cup is going on, so there's going to be one shots for a couple weeks.
That's good. I'd be interested to see
some of that stuff.
Yeah, what new blood comes in, but none of it ever gets scanlated anymore.
Well, because it's usually an uninteresting one shot.
Yeah.
So
I mean, yeah. I can't remember the last one-shot I've read that was, like, really good.
There needs to be someone that just takes up just doing one-shots.
One-shot man?
Yeah, so there's one this week, there's one next week. I don't know how many more there are.
Yeah. Well, hopefully something good. I'm still waiting on that Barrage guy's new manga.
Hero Academy?
Yeah. That should start soon, right?
I swear that the Hitman Reborn guy did something that was almost exactly like that as a one-shot.
I've never, like, every time I look into Hitman Reborn, I'm like, I should read this. I look at the chapter number, like, I'm not gonna read this.
Well.
Have you ever read it?
A little. It's...
What? Like, I cannot even figure what it's about.
I think we've been over this before. It's like, it kind of started as a comedy manga about, well, the son of a mafioso family. Like, just because he's, like, a descendant. And then it becomes Pokemon Dragon Ball Z.
I just know I've seen that mascot character everywhere. The little, I guess, chibi Hitman thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Reborn.
Okay.
That's where...
That makes sense.
Hitman Reborn comes from.
The titular character, or the deuteragonist? One of them.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, words.
Those are words that mean things.
Speaking of words that mean things, let's go with Bleach.
Shit. It's going to be really awkward with two people because we're not going to have someone to fill the silence as we're just both aghast at what we're talking about.
I don't know. I don't understand enough of this chapter to be aghast at it.
Given what happened the last few chapters, I took everything in the worst possible light. So anything that was slightly ambiguous, I just took it in the worst possible way you could take it.
Yeah, I think that some of that was intentional. So Kuretsuchi and Zombie Girl?
Sure.
Were exchanging words. And she's basically making fun of him for being so...
Bright.
Bright, yeah. Or fabulous, I guess.
Sparkly.
Yeah. And so Zombie Bambina comes up again. It's like, I want it. the vague it.
While she's slobbering and her tongue is sticking out.
So what I assume this means is she needs more blood.
Mm-hmm.
To subsist on. But it's clearly supposed to be vague as to imply innuendo.
Probably.
And it's like...
The it probably smells like something that we're not going to talk about for once in a few weeks.
Then a zombie girl slaps her.
Yeah, and it like starts getting all like weird and sadomasochist.
Psychosexual?
Yeah.
And she says she'll give her it when it's all over.
And then
gets a creepy, crazy yandere face.
Kurosuchi tries to talk some smack, and then Bambina just opens up firing at him. But it's cool, because he doesn't get hit at all.
Yeah, he uses his Ryatsu Displacer.
He's got... So, they're like Pokeballs, but they absorb explosions and hold onto them for a set amount of time.
My analogy was going to be Bat Shark Repellent, but that works too.
Look at them, they're Pokeballs.
Yeah. He basically just captures the explosions back.
And sends them back and explodes them, and Bambina gets all kinds of messed up from it.
Yeah.
Zombie girl hides behind her body.
She used her as a
human
Quincy
shield? Yeah, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they're supposed to be humans, right?
Yeah, well, theoretically, and then there's shit like Lloyd Royd. Like, I don't even know anymore.
They were just twins that happened to have weird Quincy powers.
Whatever. So...
So, Kurotsuchi basically, like, says, oh, well, you have no chance, because you two are coming with me to be experimented upon.
Yeah. It should be noted, like... Bambina doesn't say anything for the rest of the chapter. Like,
yeah, she's clearly out of commission.
Yeah, I think she's like actually dead for reals this time. So, Bambina's power is totally useless. Zombie girl has no legs to stand on, so she calls in an army of Shinigami that she's been collecting since this war started. She's apparently been cruising around reviving a whole bunch of zombies.
Because they die in Soul Society and can be zombified?
Wait, yeah, zombie ghosts. I didn't even think about this.
It's really weird.
So, like, Ikaku's pretty pissed that he recognizes some of these people, and Kurosuchi says he can't fight another Shinigami, so he's going to let these people do it.
And then this is the part where I just... Am I supposed to recognize these people?
Yeah, these are all the... So, remember how the Arrancar were numbered 1 through 10, but also 0? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then there was, like, the old 1 through 10 that got the... That were, like, 101, 102. Like...
Sure.
These are those guys.
So they're the people who weren't good enough to make the actual arc?
Yeah, like, one of those guys fought Chad, one fought... Rukia? The dude throwing up the horns fought Ichigo.
Huh.
Also, they all very explicitly died, so...
Well, they're clearly, like, stitched back together zombie style.
Yeah.
So wasn't he working in Tosen a while back?
Who?
Kurosuchi, wasn't he working on Tosen?
Was he?
Like, he had an operating table, and I think it was... You pointed out it was Tosen.
Hmm.
I'm getting the right guy, right? The blind guy.
Yeah. You're saying the right name. This just doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
Yeah, I specifically remember him, like, zombieing him back up, or... Him talking to Kurosuchi while he was on an operating table.
I'm not seeing anything on the wiki.
Yeah.
Maybe you're insane.
It might have just been like a supposition. It might have actually been one of these people, but I recall it being Tosen.
I don't know. So these guys are back.
Yeah. And I have no attachment to them whatsoever. Also, why are you bringing these characters back?
So the girl with pigtails, like, she has her weapon's like a top or something, and it like fires around the room and bounces back, and
that's probably a good thing to use in a really open rooftop fight.
I was gonna open up the wiki and before we even started, and I totally forgot about that.
I mean, I'm sure they're going to be overexplained soon anyway.
Well, and then we'll probably see the other 10 that the god, what were the even the Spanish naming got like way too confusing.
What I don't understand about this is there's already enough people to fight all these people themselves in this one area. It's just that some of them have decided to just stand back and watch.
Well, they don't exist because they're not on screen right now.
Like, Ikaku and Yumichiko are right there, and nothing specifically happened to them that made them leave the fight. Like, they were just, oh, maybe we can take Bambino, or maybe we can't. We haven't really tried yet. And then Kurotsuchi got involved.
And now,
and then
now
she
the
got destroyed. Like, I'm reasonably sure that Ikkaku and Yumachika can take on a bunch of low-rent Shinigami zombies. You know how I'm sure of that? Because none of them have names.
Okay, so the short-haired person is Loopy, and if I remember right, that's a boy. Like, that was a whole thing that he looked like a girl.
Oh, I'm sure that's not going to come up again.
Oh, it's not thematically like important at all.
Yeah.
The tall guy with the X scar is Charlotte, and I think he fought Chad?
Did he rip his arm off?
I don't know. Who did he fight? This wiki is very poorly... Oh, so, that's right. Charlotte's thing is that he like gets a dress when he releases. Again, not thematically appropriate at all. Not going to come up.
Ballpark, how many fights were there in the Hueco-Mundo arc?
Like, just characters, or like if the same character fought multiple times?
Let's say the same character fought multiple times.
Like, I'm going to say over 24.
That's a lot for a single arc.
Because, like, everybody paired up with one of these losers, and they moved on to the other 10 who, like, Noitora went around KOing people all over the place.
Like, I feel like Kubotite, he relies so much on these old shonen tropes and feels like he's giving them new life with the different character designs, but they're still the same basic thing.
The guy with the headpiece is Dordoni. He fought Ichigo. He has wind powers.
Huh.
And the big tail girl is Chiruchi. Sanderwitch.
And she has the aforementioned top?
Yeah, I think it was a top. She fought Ishida. Like that, well, like that thing in her hand is like the rope to the top. Like when she throws it, it spins.
And I find myself still not caring about any of these people.
I feel like Loopy had like a floppy sword or something. I don't remember.
It's a rubber sword.
These guys were jobbers. So
yeah. Like what happened to the guys that were in the? They were with what was it, Ganju?
Yeah.
Like that would make sense for them to like stop reintroducing characters.
Hey, we still got like four other Quincy fights going on.
Like, stop introducing characters, stop reintroducing characters, just, you've got a decent set, like, I picture Kubotite playing chess and just, like, adding pieces to the board.
There's, like, backgammon pieces and Chinese checkers and...
Yeah, this is my double bishop.
I totally did that. I would turn the rook upside down and it was a super rook.
This one can just go across the board at wherever it wants. This one teleports.
I don't know. I presume the next chapter is going to be these jobbers just taking out the jobber Quincy or Shinigamis. Well,
but then what's the point? What is the point of any of it?
He gets to draw new people again. Look at
them. He
gets
to draw old people.
But they've got new designs. Look at those scars.
But wasn't that always his problem? Is that he would design a character and then like become emotionally attached to it? And then like, I got to put this guy in the story somewhere. And now he's like, well, I love these guys because I designed them and now I got to put them back.
That's probably why we've, like, almost literally never had a villain that has exited the story. It's just compounding characters every arc.
Yeah. Or I spent so much time designing all these Soul Society people, we better make sure the story revolves around them for the next 5 to 6 years.
And Yorichi fucks off for, like, 6 years.
Yeah, and now is back for no reason.
Well, she had to deliver those mason jars.
Yes. At her light speed. Like, there's nobody else that could have delivered those things.
This wasn't such a bad chapter. It's just the last ones are still, like, echoing in my mind when
I don't know that this wasn't such a bad chapter.
It... Yeah, nothing really happened, did it?
It's, I threw an attack, you threw it back, now I have other things?
I have other things, too. The end.
Yeah. I guess it's to remind you that Kurotsuchi totally... Like... A lot of this stuff, it feel like it peaked in Soul Society, like that arc. Like, so Kurotsuchi, I don't see the point of him at all after his fight with Ishida.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be like, that was his big thing. It was, he was the one who tortured Ishida's grandfather.
Yeah, like, there was the story importance of that fight, and it, like, settled shit.
Yeah, and then he just still existed, and is now in another fight against Quincy's.
I don't know.
Yeah.
it'll be fine. Maybe we'll get some cool attacks next week.
It's just so weird because, like, a chapter ago, I was like, yeah, Bleach is now rocketing to the end. And now it's like, all right, Bleach is back to its normal
pace.
Whoa,
hold on.
They're like that guy who, like, will occasionally take a full-on sprint in a marathon and just, like, stop for water for 20 minutes.
Yeah, at this point, like, Ichigo and friends are already on their way to the final battle.
Yeah.
Of which nobody else will be able to join them because they destroyed the only way in when they left. So what the hell does all this matter?
Yeah, like, do I care so much about Kotsuchi that I care whether or not he lives and dies here? Not really. Because this manga is going to end right after this, so there's
it's
no
not.
Stakes whatsoever.
No, it's not.
I mean, right after this arc.
I bet Juhabak escapes, and then it's like, Quincy arc, part 2, start.
Just twirling his mustache.
Yeah.
You know what I would fucking love if Bleach ended like a wacky racers kind of thing? Juhabak challenged everyone to like a kart race.
And then just loses, and then that's the end of it.
Yep. But he's cheating the entire way, and like snickering and being all Snidely Whiplash-like.
Muttley
and Smithered is his dog.
Muttley and Snively Whiplash are not the same person. Snively Whiplash does not snicker. Muttley does.
Okay, well, I mean, he laughed. He laughed easily. I feel like Juhabak probably is capable of an evil laugh.
A sneer.
Yes. What's actually, now I'm going to be really disappointed if this does not end in Wacky Races.
I think every manga in Jump could, like, benefit from ending in a wacky race.
That's the real One Piece is like a fix your own go-kart manual.
They just
Gold Roger was super into it.
Well, I'm just picturing like all these boats like at a starting line on the water.
All right.
Okay,
this is the real test. All right.
We have to move on to Nisekoi.
Yeah, because we have two Nisekois this week.
Yay.
Yay.
Hey, guess who they're starring?
It's all about Haru.
Yay.
So I'm gonna start with this question immediately.
Okay.
Is Fu a conniving genius or a well-intentioned lesbian?
I think she just enjoys being a dick to Haru, which is why.
I mean, that's something I can get behind.
Yeah, she's a character after my own heart. She is just trolling Haru constantly.
So it's the Bonyari Culture Festival again.
Yeah, you know, when the school dresses all the girls up in skimpy cosplay.
Yes, and you don't see all the people leering at them, but they're there. They're clearly there.
They're watching, waiting.
Yeah. So Haru's class has doing a haunted house, and it turned out really well. And Haru is a witch, and Fu is a vampire.
And
that's flirting with Haru.
Paula is a werewolf.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that Fu is flirting with Haru.
Bleach always suck your blood, and I don't know.
You've been reading too much Bleach. It's affecting you.
Yeah, probably.
So, Haru comes up with a plan that she's going to use the haunted house to scare Onodera into Raku's arms.
Because she's still trying to convince herself she doesn't like Raku, and she's doing this for her sister.
And she's doing a very bad job of convincing herself that.
Yeah. So, they go up to Raku's class, which is doing a cosplay cafe thing.
It seems like a fairy tale cosplay cafe. She seems to be Alice.
Yeah, which is it's a nice looking outfit that doesn't show a lot of skin.
Yeah.
It's not indecent,
also,
I guess.
Also, let's be honest, Chitoge makes a pretty good Alice. She's got a ribbon, she's blonde.
Like, that's probably the best example I've ever seen of, like, them trying to pretty up Chitoge without actually, like, delving into the ghetto of terrible anime fan service.
Not wearing a short skirt.
Yeah. And Sagumi is a Kunoichi. And already more useful than Sakura.
Yes.
By being in at least one panel.
Yeah. So, and then Raku is a samurai. Which
right.
Sets off Haru's girl boner for Japanese stuff.
Which is a weird girl boner, I guess?
I don't know. I guess it would be like an American that's really into cowboy stuff.
Okay, that would also be kind of weird, but I get it.
Just very specific. Also, really sudden. Like, it just kind of came up during that sleepover arc.
I'm guessing that, like, he just thought of it. It's like, okay, now this is going to be her new thing.
She needs a thing.
Yeah. So Shu shows up, like, taking credit for, you know, deciding all the costumes and it all working out so well.
He's a knight and Ruri is a dwarf, which is really funny.
She kicks him down and is like, oh, by the way, I looked at the costumes before and it was all indecent.
Yeah.
So I changed it. And Chitoge thanks her for her services.
And then Mariko shows up and she's dressed up as a bunny in like a Snuggie.
Yeah, like a giant costume.
And she wants a sexy costume. She needs to show some skin to get Raku's attention.
Which comes up later,
yes.
I guess.
Ugh.
So they pull out Onodera, who's a gothic Lolita maid.
This theme really fell apart fast.
Yeah. I guess it's just a cosplay cafe.
Yeah, sure.
Just whatever. Though I usually like it when anime does that and they like, it's just on the legal side of actual characters. Like, where's my terrible Raku with like a Naruto headband with a Dreamcast swirl on it?
I was going to say a key on it, but...
Yeah. Or, you know, Shu Goku or something.
So Raku and Haru melt at how cute Onodera is.
Yeah.
In her fetish outfit.
And she invites them to the haunted house to go along with her, and she freaks out when they don't come. So they're following her, and they agree to go into it, and
it works pretty well, actually.
Like, yeah.
It's actually scary and gets them hugging and close.
And then they start throwing off, what is that, konnyaku?
Yeah.
Konnyaku. Which is something that Onodera hates, and she hates it to the point that she is actually freaked out by it.
This is actually really funny.
Yeah. So she's clinging to Raku as they throw konnyaku at her.
And then a bunch of konnyaku-themed monsters jump out, too.
Yeah. And now she's basically, like, straddling Raku.
And then she's on top of him. You know, that's what happens when you fall down.
I showed you that video of the girls at the basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, anime fell.
They did the toe love roof fall where one girl fell on the other and she just, like, groped her right on the boobs.
And then they had this moment of like, I guess this actually does happen.
Yeah, who knew? I thought that was totally invented.
And you should, the places that you see sharing that link were like, oh, now I've proven it. It's clearly obvious this totally happens. I can't be blamed for it. Like, no, that's one in a million, but okay.
Not what the police report is going to say.
Yeah. So Haru's plan succeeded. They were super clingy to each other.
And Onodera's bleeding from it.
Yeah. She kind of scuffed her hand a little bit, which doesn't come up again, but I guess might later.
Yeah, maybe in the next, not the next chapter, but the one after.
Yeah.
So
Raku goes to go get her a Band-Aid because he's all nice and sweet, and he notices that Haru is a little, you know, despondent. And she's like, oh, he's so sweet for noticing that. He's just that kind of guy. Which, maybe you're just fucking transparent. Have you thought about that?
You're not hard to read.
Yeah, like, if Fu can read you, then everyone can.
You're an open book.
And, like, in fairness, like, Raku noticed, and then when she said, no, I'm fine, didn't care at all.
Yeah, he's just like, okay, cool, bye.
Yeah.
I was going to get you a soda if you said you were sad, but...
I was going to, like, take care of you, but it's okay. So Fu decides to enter Haru into the beauty contest.
Yeah, they have some teasing before that, and then... Nope, just straight up entered without her
consent. So is this like an actual thing Japanese high schools do, or is it like, is this just anime?
Yes.
Because, I mean, I've seen this in things, it's all been things that are like, you know, crazy Japan. I've
seen this in Phoenix Wright, and that is a absolute 100% documentary of Japanese life.
I thought it took place in America, but they held up the illusion so well.
You'd never know that Phoenix Wright takes place in Japan.
Yeah.
Unless you look really close.
So Haru does not want to go into this beauty contest, but Fu entered her anyway, and she's taking it as her payment for helping on the Onodera Raku thing.
The entry for this seems really, like, not policed very well, that you can just enter someone else.
Yeah. I mean, that's how these things usually go in Japan. Like, remember Persona 4? That's how it happened there, too.
Yeah, King Game something.
Yes. So the special guest judges are the Romeo and Juliet from last year, because this Banyori High is still really clinging to last year's culture festival.
Do you think just, like, nothing happened before? Like, just every festival was shitty, and then, like, the Romeo and Juliet thing was okay, so they're just clinging onto it for years?
It is like Rudy Giuliani in, like, 9/11 campaign.
I was going to say, like, a baseball team that wins a championship and then doesn't let it go for 20 years, but yours is more depressing.
So... This is now Haru's like, okay, now I'll join, but still grudgingly.
So next chapter, it starts
Haru
with
underboob.
Topless Haru, which I could have done without.
I don't know where Naoshi Komi, like, is he just blatantly going for fan service anymore? Is he trying to, like, skirt on middle ground.
I feel like I might go to jail for this cover. Like, I'm actually a little worried.
Well, the next one's not as bad. The picture of the OVA.
Oh, is that
of, like, all the girls in wedding dresses?
Yes.
Yeah. That's, I mean, they're clearly going for a market here.
Marika's wedding dress is terrible.
Yes.
Chitoge did not take off that damn ribbon.
Onodera, well, she doesn't, ever.
Onodera and Sugumi are fine.
Yeah.
Their dresses are okay.
I don't like non-white wedding dresses in general. It seems weird.
Hey, yeah, you're right. Onodera isn't wearing white. Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. Okay, so... It's the day of the beauty pageant in the next chapter.
Yeah, it basically picks up at the exact same spot. Just reiterating, like, hey, you're entered into this. Onodera's hand is still hurt.
And Haru wants to know, like, I wonder who Raku will pick. But she'll probably get eliminated in the first round, so it doesn't matter. And then the hosts are Shu and some guy we've never seen that's weirdly detailed.
That did not introduce himself like I was hoping he would.
He's just there. Maybe he's just like, all right, I'll sit behind this microphone, it's fine.
I enjoy that she was introduced as appraiser of females.
Yes. He's found his calling.
That's a really nice way of putting what Shu is.
So they talk up the ladies, and Haru's backstage. First they introduce Raku and Chitoge, like this funny little thing. Chitoge is being super excited about this whole thing.
And Raku's just bored.
Yeah.
It's like the fifth element.
So they're all backstage, and Haru notices somebody in the distance that's like, who could that person possibly be? And you think this is going to be a really cool, exciting revelation, but it's not.
I thought it was Paula, because she's the only other important character with blonde or white hair.
I thought they were introduce a new girl who started that day, and she's going to fall in love with Raku because of the judging.
I thought it was Paula. Just saying.
Okay.
So Fu has brought clothes for Haru for some reason, for this thing that they didn't know about until today.
And it's like a yukata with an apron and apron frills.
They say it's a Japanese outfit, but it just looks like a waitress outfit.
I mean, like, the colors clearly look like a robe.
Hmm. Yeah. I think it's supposed to be, like, evocative of her candy shop, and I just noticed the masked wrestler in the audience in that panel. That is amazing.
Yeah. No panda man, but it's good enough.
Looks like the guy from Rhythm Heaven.
So they call up or play up Haru how cute she is, and she's wrapped in cute Japanese clothing, and
she keeps misspeaking and saying things way cuter, like Michu instead of Michu. Yeah.
And it cuts to Fu, who is who says she did this to make sure Haru's a little more self aware that she's so cute.
Yeah.
And I guess boost her self confidence.
And then we see the cheering section that talks about how Fu is the younger sister of one of the seven heroines of Bonyari.
Which is apparently a thing.
Now it is. They mention it like six times in this chapter.
Yeah. So branding. Gotta go with branding.
Who are the seven? Onodera, Chitoge, Yui, Marika, Ruri, Sugumi. Who else? That's six.
They don't know Sugumi's a girl, though. Do they?
Oh, yeah. Everyone in school does.
Yeah.
I think Claude's the only one that doesn't know at this point. Anyway, they say if Onodera is a strawberry, Haru is a Valencia orange, which
I don't understand that analogy at all.
Oh, I don't either.
Which I mean, like, I understand the differences between the two fruits, but they don't apply to Onodera and Haru. They're basically the same character, except Haru is way more annoying.
Yeah, they say like she's sour when Onodera is sweet. It's like, no, they're basically the same. There's not.
She's tsundere, and the Valencia orange is the tsundere fruit.
But I guess oranges are the most tsundere fruit. You gotta peel them, and it's not like they want you to eat them or anything.
Yeah.
So she has to talk about herself, and she basically just does a really long ad for her store, and the crowd goes wild.
Because it's so cute that she advertised her store. So Raku asks her a question of what kind of food she likes, which is Japanese sweets, and they make Raku ask another question that's love-oriented.
If you had to go out with somebody, would it be someone older or younger than you? And Fu just about dies laughing. Which is really funny.
And she answers truthfully that she wants someone older.
Now, from a trying to win the contest perspective, this is smart, because she's in the lowest class. Which means, so if she says older, like, the men in the audience will think they have a chance with her.
But there's judges, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how this actually works.
Well, okay, are the judges just Raku and Chitoge? Because that's a huge conflict of interest.
Yeah, you know this girl personally. You're semi-dating her? I guess, like, hanging around with her older sister consistently.
Yeah.
Also, you guys knew each other as kids, but nobody knows that. Not even you.
Yeah, I question the validity of this.
I don't know how you can have not a conflict of interest in the school, though.
When Raku's involved.
Yeah. Like, Raku had to be one of the judges, otherwise the thing couldn't happen.
So then the mysterious silver-haired girl comes out. And nobody recognizes her except Raku.
Yeah, and immediately says that's Paula.
Yeah.
I like Sagumi's stone-faced reaction to her just being there. Because she remembers when Paula wanted to join in the first place, because the prize is a year's worth of candy.
Why is that a prize?
I mean, that's how you fight obesity, right?
Yeah.
By making kids starve themselves to win candy.
How much of that's going to end up in the toilet? Like, when they're throwing up to keep their figure.
So, they ask Paula her name, and she stands there, then just walks off stage.
Yeah.
Because she wants to be super mysterious.
And everyone's just kind of confused.
And that's the end of that entire joke.
Yes. And then the next person is Marika. And her contribution is she throws off a cloak and is wearing a bikini.
Her contribution is, thank you, Wai-san from Chiba Prefecture, for voting so many times.
Yeah. Check out these knockers, apparently.
Yeah. Here's a page of fan service for you.
Where was Marika hiding those?
Yeah. And then they immediately disqualify her because she's showing too much skin.
Yeah, she gets red carded. I love all the women just being stunned that she would do that.
So Haru moves on.
Yeah, they narrow it down to 5 people moving on. And
Paula is not one of them.
That ends the first round. They've picked winners. The first round is done.
Yep.
And then Onodera gets entered.
This makes me feel that Simpsons joke of reopening the trial after closing argument is highly irregular, but I can't say no to kids.
So Ruri pushes Onodera onto stage.
Yeah. And now in her gothic Lolita costume. And Haru is shocked that her ultimate opponent is blocking her path.
Yeah. I do like the shots of everyone's reactions.
Yeah.
Of just
Sagumi and Paula, especially when she was holding her back a second ago.
And that's it for this chapter.
Yep. That was two issues in Nisekoi.
Yes.
And we're not even halfway done. Oh, maybe halfway done with the arc. Who knows? Yeah. But we're not done with the arc, because there's more.
It's totally going to get down to Haru and Onodera, and that's going to become a really creepy, like, I like
it. It's going to be Raku's vote that decides it.
And then, like, the entire stadium's going to go dark, and a spotlight's going to come down on it, and then, hey, which do you prefer? Silence.
I just noticed in the panel where Onodera is getting shoved off stage, there's, like, this old guy in the corner just looking shocked. It's like, my god, Onodera's coming.
It's one of the 7 heroines of Bagnari.
I never expected this in my 70 years.
I have to update my roster and go to my fantasy heroines of Bagnari club.
What's up, fellow students?
Okay.
All right.
Soma.
Yeah. We do a lot of manga about high school now that I think about it.
I was going to say this one's at least not, like, horribly pervy, but then I remembered, like, all the teeming boy-hungry pedophiles that are sitting in the audience constantly.
Yeah, that at least calms down a little this week.
I guess there's nobody in Raku's high school going, like, old men licking their lips going, like, I'd love to take that girl back to my hotel room with me.
There was that teacher.
Yeah, you're right. God damn it, Japan.
So Silva starts with Takumi and his brother, whose name I've forgotten.
Isami. It's right there on the page.
Oh, Isami.
They're being given olive oil.
Yeah, special olive oil. It's from Aldini's homemade recipe.
Olives, I guess.
Yes. So Takumi is, like, whipping up like crazy to try and do something interesting.
Yeah.
And then he's bringing his dish to the judges.
His three-layered semi-frito?
Yes, but everyone's shocked because there's a fourth layer.
My god.
Like, this is the part where Cookie Manga usually loses me, where they take these things that I'm sure to a non-layman are, like, super weird and cool.
I'm just picturing that, you know, the IGN meme image of just, like, three layers, dude just sitting there stone-faced, Four layers. Yeah.
It's like, why couldn't you? Why wasn't there a fourth layer? As no one literally thought, what if we put a fourth layer on a three-layer cake?
There's someone in the audience going like, why doesn't he add a five layer? And it's like, are you fucking stupid? Nobody can add a
Get
fifth
out!
layer.
You're removed from the
You
school.
are banned. You are expelled. You
Then
are...
years later, the judge is sitting like, that boy was ahead of his time.
We're up to seven layers.
If only we hadn't kicked him out. We should have listened to him.
So Takumi brings it up for tasting, and we get to see his fan area being super concerned.
Yeah,
I love
they're apprehensive.
I love that it keeps focusing on Dorky Girl in the background. She's my favorite.
She's going to end up with Takumi. Who else does he have? Everyone else is in love with Soma.
So they all take a bite, and I guess all fall in love with Takumi?
Yeah, as you do.
Yeah. He's Italian. That's just what happens when you eat his food.
So it's an overwhelming lemon flavor. Because he's got lemon curd.
Yeah, and Soma hears lemon card and doesn't understand.
Yeah. Which, you know, why would he understand? It's not like he's a professional chef.
So, lemon curd is a coagulated lemon paste that is popular in British cooking.
So he reached across the border.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be surprising because he's a chef from Italy in Japan.
Who would have known that he could have known international things?
Yeah. Like, no one has the internet or television.
So, the thing is that lemon curd needs butter, but Takumi substituted olive oil, which is apparently a thing you can do.
Yeah, but it shocks everyone regardless.
Yeah.
And so while he's explaining this, Subaru starts laughing.
Well, not quite.
Or not laughing, but he has a concerned face, I guess.
Yeah, he's covering his mouth and he's just kind of glaring.
Yeah, which we later discover is stifling laughter, but for now it's possible loss.
So everybody starts talking about how amazing Takumi is. Like, he was able to, in the heat of battle, just like pull out this random thing from a different part of the world.
Which, again, I'm not sure is, like, that impressive.
Hey, they're children, okay?
I'm just saying, like, isn't this what a chef does? It's like, everyone's super shocked, but, like, I feel like some of the people who are judging should be able to do this, probably. I'm sure at some point in some shokugeki this has come up where things did not go exactly as planned.
No, never. It always goes perfectly.
So Isami thinks that, like, oh, Aldini saved him, and he surpassed his past recipe.
And then Ball Judge is, like, kudos-ing Takumi, and then takes a bite and becomes very concerned. And the chairman says, you finally noticed.
Yep. And then Subaru starts laughing.
Yeah. It starts with a small snicker, and then he just can't help it anymore and lets out a belly laugh screaming at the sky.
Yeah. He basically does a JoJo laugh here.
Yeah. And this is where I start to, like, be a little confused.
Okay, so basically, picture Takumi as light and Subaru as L. Or no, well, I want to do it that way because Subaru wins.
Also, near sucks.
Yeah. But basically, Subaru tried to fool Takumi, and Takumi, realizing he was being fooled, tried to one-up himself, but Subaru already saw that coming.
Yeah, he'd already planned for this. He knew about the olive oil. He knew everything that he could have done and picked this as, like, the best option.
Yeah. So, essentially, what this is Subaru made the better dish. That's what this all boils down to.
He used pickled lemons from Morocco. Like, is his secret ingredient.
But it's being set up as, like, this Death Note Xanatos gambit, even though it just, I knew when you were going to make something good, so I made something better. Which, that's every shokugeki.
I can't believe he thought to make a better dish than the other person. What an amazing strategy.
Like, I guess it's supposed to be the thing, like, he knew Subaru or Takumi would improve his dish. So he made something better than his improved dish.
I do like the visualization earlier that Takumi was switching tracks, and then Subaru has a visualization that no matter which track he took, he was just on a loop.
Yeah.
So he was always, you know,
he was always in the palm of his hand.
He was always going according to Keikaku.
So they declare Subaru the winner.
Yeah.
And Takumi doesn't know what the fuck. So I obviously this is leading to Soma getting revenge for Takumi.
Yeah, I bet Soma wants every piece of cutlery to go back to its original person.
I think he's at least going to go for the knife. Or the Mezzaluna.
I guess we should say that Subaru wins unanimously. Every single judge votes for him.
Because, I mean, it's better, because it's straight up comparison between two dishes, but one tastes better.
Yeah, they can't justify.
Yeah, I'm so flabbergasted that this is like a thing. Like this never before seen situation.
Well, I'm going to make the same pizza you did, but line it with $100 bills. So, okay, here's the part that confuses me, is that it was like, oh, Subaru, your thing's good. Oh my god, Takumi, your thing's better. Wait, no, Subaru's is better. He wins. Like, I didn't understand what caused them to just flip back after talking to Takumi so much.
My assumption was just that they're really reactionary and were like, this is really good. We have no idea how you made this with this, like, in the situation you were in.
And then they
but actually,
it.
Subaru's is better.
They took another bite and were like, oh, no, wait, actually.
Yeah, this is bullcrap. Don't.
So is it safe to say Takumi is Yamcha?
I guess so. Has somebody already photoshopped the picture of Takumi, like, lying in a crater? Okay,
that was the first thing. I guess that makes Asami poor, in that he's, like, totally useless and just kind of there most of the time.
Yeah. Did poor ever do anything?
He?
I don't remember.
Turns into stuff from time to time. Turned into Bulma that one time and really effed up that plan to steal the Dragon Balls.
I only vaguely remember this, but okay.
Well, you don't remember, like, Poir turned into Bulma and, like, Oolong turned into Yamcha, I think. And they both didn't realize the other person was disguised and they started freaking out. Or no, maybe Oolong was Goku? I don't remember.
I don't remember any of this, but my Dragon Ball knowledge is actually worse than my Dragon Ball Z knowledge.
Well, yeah.
Because Z was so iconic to my childhood and Dragon Ball is what I read after.
Oh, I watched Dragon Ball before Dragon Ball Z. Eh. I was caught up on the story. I understood what was going on.
I didn't. That's what made it better.
So
Soma versus Subaru.
Yeah, and Akira versus Ryo.
And Ryo's gonna body Akira.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see that not happening.
I wonder if we even see that match, if it just comes back to be like, unanimous victory, Ryo.
Yeah.
With just Akira looking shocked and, like, eyeball shaking in the corner.
And then Soma beats Subaru because he figured out what Subaru's gimmick was, like, during this match. So it's going to be one of those things, like, I couldn't have done it without watching Takumi go against you.
You know what would be great is if Soma just, like, practices a really bad dish and Subaru copies it, and then Soma goes in there and goes like, oh no, I already know what I was going to make. I was just making that fake thing to throw you off.
I think it'd be funny if they didn't announce what the thing would be until, like, they actually get there. Like Iron Chef style.
Yeah.
As a way of limiting Subaru. But I think it's going to be like, Subaru has all the advantages and pretty sure he knows exactly what Soma's going
to
do.
Come to think of it, Subaru, like, every match that he's won would have had to have been one with a predetermined theme ahead of time.
I'm sure he went and challenged the people.
Like, I challenge you to make a pizza. You should probably practice tonight with your window open.
Or maybe he just watched them beforehand. It's like, all right, I'm going to just, whatever that guy does,
yeah,
just going to do that.
I do like how he's pretty consistently being drawn at the devil.
Yeah.
It seems a little much for what he does, but sure.
They really like to hammer on the evil looks for everybody.
Again, like, his skill seems pretty important for a chef.
Like, not every chef can be somebody that, like, is constantly innovating food. Someone has to cook it really well, too.
But he does innovate it. He takes other people's and improves them.
Yeah, that's true.
Ah, whatever. So next week, I bet we get our pairings, and or maybe there's some, you know, smack talk between rounds.
It's been so long since I've seen Soma do anything. I don't remember what he'd like. His thing was like omelets and cobblers, right? Or something like that?
Oh, you meant like that. I thought you just meant he's been in the audience for so long. You forgot what Soma was.
I meant like the, like, yeah, he had a whole, he only made omelets for a long time, I think.
That sounds right.
Like, he made, like, an apple pie omelet for breakfast, and then
that sounds really good.
And he made, like, a curry omelet that, like, you burst open and it explodes and smell.
Smell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't that the thing? Like,
yeah, I remember the curry omelet.
Yeah. I'm guessing that, like, he's going to think, oh, Yukihiro's totally going to make an omelet. Fish a la king.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, on to Ask Class.
Yes. a very good chapter of Ass Class.
Yeah, so the what was it called? Botarasai?
Botayashi something. Capture the flag.
Yeah, the pole thing. It's still going on in I've totally blanked out his name. Asano, there we go.
They're not respecting his personal space.
Yeah,
they're just, like, touching his face, which I find really weird.
And for some reason, he cannot talk while they're doing this.
Yeah.
Well, so he can't give the order to the rest of the people that are on the Class E pole.
Yeah, so they're stuck there. And then the Class E secret weapon, Itona, comes in.
And, yeah.
Isagai launches him right at the top of the pole.
And he makes, like, a crazy tie jump.
Grabs the pole and uses his momentum to carry it with him, and it goes down.
Yep.
And Class E.
And Class E wins.
Yeah. That was, like, 4 pages.
I don't know why that couldn't have been in the last chapter, but okay.
I guess it still works, though. It's just a very sudden victory.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the chairman talking to all the people, and I'm sure this is going to go great.
Well, he's talking to, like, Asano and his foreign chums.
Yeah. Who are speaking through interpreters now.
Yeah. And they were talking about Itona, that, like, must have hidden his skills during the earlier events.
And then we get maybe the single best sight gag in the manga. I'll let you go ahead.
He has a scavenger hunt, and he's looking for something near his expiration date, and he's grabbing Irina by the wrist and dragging her along, and she looks confused.
Yes. That is so fantastic.
It's just the confused look that makes it, I think.
Yeah. Also, his, like, determined look looking at the paper.
Yeah. Like, this is so clearly obvious that it's not like anyone could...
That's, like, the first thing he thought of.
Yeah. So, the chairman brought them in to talk to them about the victory, and it was a complete loss for them that not only did they lose, but they lost when they had all the advantages, and now the rest of the school is... surrounding Class E as, you know, good people that have a good underdog quality to them.
Yeah, we see that the school is just, like, openly cheering for Class E at this point.
Which is bad for his strategy of, like, using them as a stepping stone.
Yeah, they're gaining confidence, like, people are liking them. Basically, the chairman is just saying, you're ruining my plans, stop it. He says that Asano is a failure.
Yeah. And the American guy's like, well, you can't say that, that's your son.
Yeah.
You should be saying, isn't there something you should be learning about from this?
And then the chairman's like, yeah, sure. I'll say that if you can beat me in a fight. Which, okay.
And then he challenges all 4 of them.
All 4 of these 15-year-olds.
Which, when you put it that way, it's kind of pretty sad.
Yeah. And then we cut back to Isagai. He's helping clean up. Which is really funny. And all the girls from the higher classes are telling him how cute he is.
He's an Ikemen.
Yeah. That worked.
And all of the Class E thinks he's so cool, too. And then we cut back to the chairman's office.
And we just see a sea of, like, broken noses and blood and possibly broken necks.
The chairman standing above them with his coat off and his shoes bloody.
I love that Kevin is crying in English. Saying how sorry he is.
Oh yeah, I apologize.
Yeah, and like the Uggs are totally written in English too.
Yeah, it's not a Scanlander thing. It's
no
clearly, you know, drawn that way. So he goes up to Kevin and he uses the back of his coat to wipe off his shoes.
Yeah, and then tells them the story of the first time he beat a black belt. Like, he went into a karate class and challenged the master on his first day and got beaten over and over until he was puking. Then on his second day, he went back and watched the master intently.
He just downloaded him and...
Yeah.
I like the thing where he watched him so intently that his nail from his thumb was digging into his hand.
Oh, God, I just noticed that.
Yeah.
And like...
So he's a crazy person, basically.
Yeah, it showed what he was seeing was like angles and motion. And then on the third day, he beat the instructor without the instructor even touching him repeatedly.
And then he just... kept beating him over and over while still learning new things.
Yeah. And then he tells his son, that's what you should do when you lose. That's
just go crazy with rage.
And then he becomes a monster.
Yeah. Let it consume you. You should be frustrated to the point where you want to literally murder them.
And his face becomes distorted and his eyes move around and there's a mouth on his tie.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if this is like Asano seeing his dad as a monster or if this is a thing that is actually happening.
I assume it's Asano just seeing his dad as a monster.
Yeah, it is kind of like shaded funny.
Yeah.
Like it's his imagination, but... So
he's basically a demon.
Yeah, Asano's starting to get a little freaked out by his dad.
Well, he's also like getting... generally getting messed up by this.
Yeah.
So they make... Or Classy goes to make sure that Asano is not going to like go back on his word.
And he says he doesn't use underhanded tactics. He's going to stand by his word.
Which he totally does.
Yeah. And Isagai asks him if he'd like to have another match sometime. And Asano just walks away.
Because he's now frustrated and angry.
Yeah. He did nothing to these guys. It was a complete loss.
Yeah. So Isagai thinks, like, well, people like Asano make him realize that he's glad he's poor. That he's not a spoiled rich kid.
And then we get... Nagisa. God, it's been so long since he's done something.
He held on to Asano briefly.
We get the thing that happens at the end of every story arc about a new person, where we learn that he's an assassin and an Ikemen, and Isagai is like their leader.
Yeah. And then he sees all the leftover bread from the bread eating contest and freaks out and wants to take it all home.
I like that panel because the Class A kids are like, let's go out for a nice dinner. And Sugino's like, can I have this free bread? Or Isagai, not Sugino.
Yeah. So I think there's probably going to be another arc, maybe not next, but soon, of Asano doing something completely crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to probably expose Kuro-sensei somehow. Because he doesn't really know that Kuro-sensei is, like, what he is, or even that he's, like, weird. Just that there's something strange with the classy teacher.
He knows there's a secret. That's all he knows.
So I think he's going to try and find that secret and expose it, like, as revenge against Classy and his father.
I wonder if we go back to Shiro before that, though. If he...
Possibly, yeah.
I don't know. I still feel like someday Asano is going to be part of Classy.
That would be something. And that would be embarrassing for the chairman, so I'm not sure he'd do it. This whole chapter, like, okay, the chairman is kind of a psycho.
He's a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, to the highest degree.
So I'm guessing, like, well, eventually they're going to reveal that this whole thing was he's only doing this as, like, a test for when he runs for office or something like that.
And he wants to become, like, prime minister or something.
Yeah, that he's going to run the country like he runs a school.
Maybe.
Have one group that everyone looks down on and for everyone else to rise up. And that's going to be, like, the big impetus to actually stop him.
Yeah, because right now he's not doing too much evil. He's just kind of a super asshole.
Yeah, but eventually he's going to go straight up evil.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's going to end up with Asano doing something super crazy.
Yeah, just a last-ditch effort to try and stop them.
Yeah. I could see it ending with him like, okay, now you can't be in the school anymore. You've got to go somewhere else.
Becomes a Ronin.
Goes to American school.
That was a really good chapter.
Yep.
The chairman scares the hell out of me.
They've done such a good job of, like, making him a villain.
He's like that nice guy evil that's, like, way scarier.
Again, not to relate everything to Death Note, but he's Light Yagami.
Yeah. And Asano is also Light Yagami.
Yeah, they're all Light Yagami.
Nagisa's Light Yagami. The death.
Okay. He says Misa for all the purposes.
More ways than one. Okay, right. One Piece.
One Piece, yeah. So, first of all, Sea Cat is following Jinbei and Officer Dog.
Yes, Officer Dog lives in the correct village.
Yeah, the same town that the kitten lives in.
Yeah, so they're going to that place. And I love Jinbei's giant grin.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you be grinning too?
The story is just so funny that he's just like, yay, I'm returning this lost cat.
I assume there's going to be something going on in that town that Jinbei has to solve.
Yeah. But for right now, it's just kind of like, Jinbei's completely uneventful and pleasant adventure.
Yep. So, it starts off with Kinemon. The scrapyard.
Yeah.
Kinemon has somehow made his way there to get Kanjuro.
This is something I didn't think of, is all those toys that were down in the trash bin have turned back into people, too. And they're sort of just stuck down there.
But now that Kanjuro is available, and Kinemon's gonna like fill him in on the details later about everything that's happened so far.
And then we get our first like look at Kanjuro.
Yeah. At first I thought he was an Okama, then I realized oh, just
he's just
Kabuki.
Like, yeah, yeah, Kabuki theater dude. He's got like big white hair and you know,
yeah.
Caesar was kind of a Kabuki theater dude too.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of that lately. So
maybe he's going for a theme in this set of islands.
We find out that Kanjuro was hiding in the wall from the other inmates.
Yeah.
And
because that's what he can do. That's his devil fruit power.
He's Sai.
Yep. He can draw things, but he can't draw.
Which is hilarious. So
he makes a really ugly bird that comes to life.
I just love thinking about this compared to like Sai's birds. And then see this one. So it's like this really poorly drawn bird and like one wing is way bigger than the others. And
perspective.
Yes. Kanjuro and Kinemon climb on it and it can just sort of barely fly them out of there.
But then all the other people there say, oh, we have families and stuff up there. We need to find out about the king and somehow get to safety.
And we don't see if they do anything, but they look pretty concerned.
Yeah.
Kanjuro and Kinemon.
So then it cuts to a basically zoomed out view of everything that's happening so far. I like how the identification has Cavendish's cabbage.
Oh god, it does. That's amazing.
It shows Zora and Pika still fighting on the Pika statue's head.
It shows that Luffy Law, Cavendish, and Kyros are moving between the second and third layers. So
and they're trying to, like, the soldiers are trying to stop them, but the Bruce Lee type guy is like...
You mean Blue Gilly?
Yes. Or adult Derringer, I guess.
Gets
because then, young Derringer comes, takes him out.
Yeah, it does a decapitation kick, which doesn't actually decapitate him, but
yeah,
takes him out.
But he gets taken out, and Luffy notices this, but Captain's like, we can't really do anything about it. We need to go after Doflamingo.
They need to focus, and Luffy has to just watch as like Boo gets taken out, and they're not quite holding their own against these heads.
Yeah. So Doflamingo, or Cavendish says he's going to be the one that takes Doflamingo's head.
And then Luffy says, nope, he's going to do it.
Then Kiro says he's going to do it.
And Law says he's going to do it.
And Kiro explains that he has a 10-year debt to repay and he has to get the king's kingdom back for him.
And
Law says, it doesn't matter, mine is 13 years. And Luffy says, no way, mine's 30 years. And then Cavendish calls him out on it.
I like to imagine that Law was like, let me tell you about the time that I met Doflamingo. And everyone's like, shut up, we don't have time for that. Let's keep going.
We're on a horse.
We don't have time for flashbacks.
I like that Luffy's thing was just so immediate. Like, yeah, whatever, 30 years.
He's just a compulsive liar.
And Luffy's like 16, 17 still?
He's 19, I think, at this point.
Oh, yeah, time skip.
And then Cavendish announces that they've officially made it to the third level, where there are giant, monstrous toys.
Yep.
So,
like, really big, actual toys.
Do you think Sugar's awake, or do you think these are pre-made things?
I would guess Sugar's awake, but I don't know. Like, I'm unsure whose devil power this could be otherwise.
Yeah. And if Sugar is awake, it's going to be a really difficult battle.
Yeah. But at least the other toys are undone, so I'm not sure where she'd get these guys.
And I don't know, I assume there's people everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's the last we see of that. We cut back to Zoro and Pika fighting.
Yeah. And Zoro's kind of mocking him for even trying to take out Straw Hat's head with moves like his.
Yeah, it seems like Zoro has unquestionably the upper hand in this fight. Like, Pika's panting and running around and having to... It seems like he can switch out of stone bodies and into different stone bodies.
Yeah, which is why Zoro hasn't been able to get the kill yet, because he doesn't know where Pika is.
Yeah. He just sucks himself back into the ground before the killing blow can be delivered.
So he sees Rebecca, Bartolomeo, and Robin flying in.
And is super confused at how they're flying.
Yeah.
And Pika notices Rebecca.
And Rebecca immediately notices him.
Yeah, he's not hard to miss.
So they're about to land on the statue when Pika realizes that he can just go into the statue and take control again.
Yeah. So he's back in the big one and the fist starts moving.
Which now Zoro knows exactly where he is, where his body is. So he just cuts the statue straight in half.
Yeah, doing a 1080-pound cannon.
Yeah. And points out that, like, yeah, you, you thought that like it was just the Straw Hats or just Luffy and God Usopp, but you kind of didn't realize I'm the world's best swordsman.
And then Bartolomeo just fangirls out, and that's the end of the chapter.
Yep.
That was a quick chapter. It was a lot of two-page spreads.
It was, but I appreciate any Zoro fights.
Yeah. We also skipped the joke that like Bartolomeo was screaming for Zoro to sign something on his way down. That was my favorite part.
I still think he's a joke about like Oda's fans or something.
Oh, he's so great. So I'm not sure if Pika's actually done for. But Zoro at least landed a hit.
Yeah. And it shows him, like, he has the Enel face.
Yeah, the blood, and then we don't see too much of him.
But then he has a shocked face after that, so...
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? See, he might have just sunk into, like, the below areas of Dressrosa.
We'll see next week, because it's another chapter where it's not going on break.
Hooray.
I'm always thankful when I get to the end of the chapter, and I just scan the bottom of the page.
One Piece is on break next week.
No.
Well, Oda Sensei flosses regularly.
So yeah,
I like how we got like a moment of Law flashback. So I assume we'll get another moment of it next time.
Well, that's what amused me when he started talking about his 13-year-old story, and then Luffy just interrupts him with, "No, 30 years."
Do you think that's an intentional joke at this point, or?
No, I'm just reading it into it that way. I always like when One Piece does these chapters though, where it checks in on everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, almost everybody.
We still don't know what's up with the Sanji crew.
I was also thinking Zoro's on the island.
It was smart of them to cut them out, actually.
Yeah, I guess...
Because there are just too many people.
Yeah, when you have like 10 people that you have to work into every story.
Yeah. Like having that Sanji moment of like, oh, this is... God, what did he say when he answered the phone to Crocodile?
Mr. Prince?
Yeah, something like that. Like, that's always cool, but sometimes you need to worry about the pacing. And can you imagine how long this would take if they also had to cut to the Sanji Nami area, too?
Yeah, I appreciate that he's getting this stuff done with first.
Yeah.
At least so far.
Maybe it's his new editor. Though I doubt any editor actually, like, tells Oda what to do.
Maybe just suggests.
Brings him coffee.
I'm sure he has enough of a sense of story to know that, like, too much is too much.
Yeah.
Like, at least everything that's cutting through between here is part of the same story. It's all moving towards Doflamingo.
Well, that's what Oda does best. He does that, like, that collusion point of everything always builds to this one area.
And like, it's all going towards the same end.
Yeah. And, like, there's a visual indicator of it this time. Because everyone needs to get to the top of Flower Field.
Yeah, I like when he draws maps.
Yeah. So, it's smart storytelling. It keeps people interested. And it's actually something that, like, it probably makes One Piece work better week to week than it does straight one after another. Because you have, like, if you read this chapter, like, immediately after you read the last one, it wouldn't be, I don't know, wouldn't be as interesting to just see Luffy running some more and, like, catching up on where everyone is. Like, those would feel like wasted panels.
Yeah. Whereas now it feels like you're getting quick check-ins on everybody every week.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could see this being the end of the Pika fight. Like, next week, we just have Zoro moving on with Robin and Rebecca.
Yeah. That would make sense to me. Like, there's no... You've proven Zoro was stronger. You know, Pika's going to come back to save Doflamingo at the last second, but...
I mean, that was the whole thing of the fight this chapter, is that Pika couldn't touch Zoro.
Yeah. Like,
he just wasn't strong enough.
I mean, I still stick by my theory that Zoro was stronger than Luffy.
I don't think there's really any question about that.
I mean, not just from a fact that, like, Luffy can be cut and Zoro has swords, but I think, like, actual, in terms of haki, he's stronger.
Yeah, he could beat Luffy in a fight easily.
He just doesn't want to, because he has no aspirations to be the Pirate King.
Yeah, and he likes Luffy.
Yeah. All right, then. On to Naruto?
Yeah, which, the big announcement was a new movie, like I guessed, because that was the only thing it could possibly be.
But none of us guessed that it was going to be the last movie.
Yes, it's literally called The Last.
Yeah, the last Naruto the movie.
And
because Japanese anime movie titles.
It seems like it's going to be an epilogue to the series.
Which, okay, spoiler, Naruto survives.
Yeah, there's an adult Naruto shown in the production sketches. Which, I'm surprised they're showing this shit.
Yeah, I guess they need to start the hype cycle early on this.
But to be showing, like, adult Naruto is kind of weird.
I mean, Kishimoto was never going to kill off Naruto.
I know, but still.
Let's just be happy it doesn't show adult Sasuke next to him.
And they both have wedding bands on. They're holding hands.
It's interesting design for the adult Naruto. It just looks like Naruto with shorter hair. It, like, kind of looks a little bit more like Yondaime.
Yeah, it's kind of like his dad with whiskers, but yeah. Still different.
Yeah.
More square-jawed.
I agree with you. It is kind of shocking that they're showing this. It's like,
it just seems like, you know, that kind of thing should have been a lot more, had a lot more gravitas than just, oh, here's our pencil sketch of adult Naruto. It's like, wait.
I wonder if somebody forced their hand on this. Like, you have to show, we start this movie production soon. You can't just wait till the manga is over. We've got to start, like, actually hyping this up. Because for this to be just, like, inserted before a chapter, which doesn't really, like, it's clearly going towards an end, but not at any more rapid a pace than it was before.
It's just another chapter. Like, they're moving forward with the story. It's a fine chapter, but for this to be the place where you're going, like, oh yeah, here's what's going to happen once the series is over. Spoiler, the series is ending, and here's, you know, what they're going to look like afterwards.
That's, I think, the hugest news here. I mean, we all knew the series was ending, but now we know it's ending soon.
I mean, I could have seen it gone to a part three or something.
Yeah. Because we're all like, okay, there has to be this fight and this fight, and this character needs revenge for this, and they need resolution on these things, and now it's like, no, they're going to fight Gagaya.
Although, let's be real, they totally could just keep going.
They could.
Say the movie is, like, so far in the future, it doesn't matter, they just do another arc.
It says 12/6/2014. So, I assume that's...
this year?
Yeah, it has to be, because, you know, they can't, 6/12 is already over. Because I was trying to parse out dates in my head. I was like, did they do it that way or the other way? Or
well,
so it's if it's going to be this December, then Naruto ends in within the next few months.
Not 6/12/2014.
Yeah. That's already over.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just we're rapidly approaching issue 700. And I could kind of see it getting to an endpoint by then. That's another 14 chapters for the fight that's already midway through.
That's 14 weeks, which is... roughly 3 months.
So it would be...
around December.
And, yeah, we put in breaks and stuff. It's probably mid-November, late October.
Yeah. Hmm. Though I actually, you know, now that I'm looking at this, I'm not sure if I'm actually, like, if it says 12/6 as release date for the movie, or watch the trailer 12/6.
It could.
Yeah, so that's definitely possible. This is one of those situations where us not reading Japanese actually harms this podcast significantly.
Also, it says something about 2015 down at the bottom of the page, too.
Oh, yeah.
But we're, yeah. Pictures. We can talk about pictures. There's pictures of adult Naruto.
Yeah. That's... and a bunch of different concepts and designs, so they don't seem very far with this.
It seems like there's adult Naruto, and then there's also, like, late teens Naruto.
And adult Naruto has Naruto written on his butt.
Does he? He does. Oh my god. Maybe that's the fashion in 10 years.
Because he started doing it and everyone followed.
One that just says juicy.
It's, I don't know. Actually, to some extent, like, seeing this kind of makes it real for me. I grew up with Naruto in, to some sense. Like, well, I started reading it in late high school.
Yeah.
And, like, it was my 10-year reunion this week, so it's been a while since I've been, like, reading Naruto.
It's kind of like with Dragon Ball Z, you always knew it's like, oh, this is a thing that's, like, already kind of come and gone in Japan.
Yeah.
We're just getting...
there's only so much of it, and...
but this is this is like you're right there alongside it as it's going.
Yeah. And I don't know, to not wax too poetic on it, but there is a certain amount of your own childhood and youth is wrapped up in the media you consume alongside it. So... the coming of age story of Naruto is like, oh, well, shit, I'm pretty old now too, huh? Yeah, so Naruto's ending. Probably either in like 3 months or a year, who knows. But I'm not putting bets on it lasting more than 12 months.
Or it could be never.
Just the epilogue is non-canon?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
We find out it's just like a dream from the Tsukiyomi tree.
I could totally see them doing, like, a non-canon epilogue. But it is called Naruto the Last. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get on to the actual chapter.
Yeah.
Or,
the Hokages are doing like the only smart thing anyone's done and talking to Hagoromo.
Yeah, who has finished telling them why it's a bad idea to revive Madara.
Yeah. After his exhaustive list.
It's been 8 hours that he's just been rattling off, like he's just been Mr. Smith Goes to Washington right there talking about how terrible an idea that is.
So he basically gives them the short version of where all his chakra went and what's up with Naruto and Sasuke and what's going on. But now he needs to do another jutsu just to finish all this up. And one last sealing jutsu, but he needs everyone's chakra for it.
And hey, guess what? There's some Hokages here.
Hokages that will probably disappear when their chakra is gone.
Yep. So, we know where
And
they're
then
going.
Cowboy Naruto. A nice cowboy cover image where Sakura does not even get her own horse.
Yeah, she's riding on Sasuke's.
Yep, and hanging on to him.
I'm enjoying these color pages that are like Naruto in a different
Samurai and
genre. Yeah.
yeah. I wonder if it's him testing out stuff for
That's
future ideas.
maybe he's just having fun at this point. Oh,
Okay,
there.
that actually confirms the 12. Okay, we're idiots. The 12-6 appears, or for the Naruto movie, it's a trailer. Or more information, rather. So, well, I guess Naruto is not ending in 3 months.
It says premieres 12/6.
But it says even more shock. Oh.
And even more shocking information on page 3, which are the color pages we just saw. They're out of order.
Oh. Then I don't know.
Let's just say it's premiering this year.
Yeah, why not?
Seems like the safest bet.
I can't see this fight going on another year.
So Kaguya is running around killing clones,
Yep.
trying to
She's
get.
basically ninja bouncing between clones, and she notices that the one with the truth sticking balls is must be the real Naruto because other clones are protecting him.
Yeah.
So she decides to go after that one.
And
And
ultimately. No, go ahead.
while she's doing this, Kakashi is having like a crisis of consciousness.
About how useless he is.
Yeah. He's basically Sakura-ing over there. And he's like, oh, even
I
Sakura
know, that's
did
totally
something.
how I read that. He says, even Sakura and Obito replace themselves. What I read is, even Sakura is doing something. God.
Was the strongest ninja for a long time.
I.
People looked up to me.
My dad was the White Fang. I was Hokage for a few minutes.
But no, Bloodline Limit Boy and Chakra Boy are now the new heroes. And he was thinking, like, even he couldn't even save Ren and Obito when the time came.
Yeah.
And so Naruto starts screaming and taunting Kaguya, like, "Is this all you got? Come after me."
Which kind of snaps Kakashi out of it.
Yeah, like, I'm not even paying attention to this big fight. What the hell's wrong with me?
And he realizes there's something he should be able to do.
And then Sakura, Sasuke, and Obito come out for reasons.
Hey, that was pretty easy. Weren't they stuck over there?
Like, had maybe they had like they copied the energy signature, like somebody wrote it down beforehand, so they knew how to get back.
Also, like, Obito and Sakura were out of it. Whatever. Okay, they're back.
I would love that Kakashi was like, "Oh my God, Sasuke's back, and Obito's back, and where's Sakura's vest?"
We had to leave behind. No! And then we come back to his
Those
apartment, and there's like a picture of the vest, and like the frame cracks.
they bill me for those things.
Zetsu's just shocked that they're back.
So the Naruto with the truth seeking balls like says, "Oh great, great, you guys made it," and then immediately gets captured by Kaguya's hair.
Because good job distracting Naruto.
Yep, and gets stabbed with the decomposition bone.
And dies.
Yep,
But hey, it was a
and
cool.
that's the end of Naruto.
Yep. Look forward to the movie.
And then they realize it's just a clone explosion, and it was just his clone that he gave the balls to.
Hee.
So,
Naruto can put his balls anywhere he wants. They
yes,
fly back onto his body.
they're detachable.
Yeah.
It's a skill.
He's a ninja.
So that was a good plan that worked for like 1 second,
And
and
now
then,
Kaguya knows which one the real one is.
but now Sasuke is there, so it's fine.
Yeah.
So she decides to just bring them to the gravity planet.
Yeah. Well, does she bring them to a gravity planet, or does she just like use a gravity power? Is what I thought was happening. Because she like the ground changes into triangles, and they all get.
Sasuke says it's a super gravity dimension.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, they're totally in a super gravity dimension.
Yep. It even affects Kaguya, who's on her knees.
And kind of like very like struggling to lift her arms up to shoot some blades.
Yeah, so she tries to shoot at Naruto and Sasuke, who can't quite dodge, but still are able to move out of the way, and her aim was off because of the gravity. But since Zetsu is apparently like a targeting computer, he adjusts for this, and
what?
They're not going to miss the next one.
Would that be weird if he was a targeting computer?
I think it would be a little weird.
After everything that's happened.
Kage, you've turned off your targeting computer. What's wrong? So Kakashi and Obito
are super eager to kill themselves.
I mean, that's what happens when you have a Sharingan. Or had one at any point.
And they both want to be the shield for Naruto,
And Sasuke. So they reach out and they both feel Rin's metaphorical hand grabbing them.
Which I thought was Rin's literal hand for a minute.
At first I did too.
I was like, oh, come on.
But this is what Kakashi believes he can do. He can take this bullet for Naruto.
Yeah. And Obito sucks the blade coming for Kakashi into another dimension, but cannot stop the one coming at him, and he gets stabbed.
Yep. So he Kamui'd that one away. So Kakashi lived. And Obito's like, I need you to survive, and don't come after me.
These two were going to kill themselves at the first chance they got.
I mean, they're basically Hyugas that way.
Yeah.
Hinata comes running in. What did I miss? Damn it!
So, Obito's dead, probably. Unless this just eats away at the Zetsu part of him or something.
I think he's dead.
Yeah. We'll get a sad chapter next week where Kaguya inexplicably does not just fire at them again.
How did they move on full sprint to block that shot, but Naruto and Sasuke couldn't move?
Gravity?
But why are they better equipped to do it? Like, are they older? Do you become better with gravity as you age?
Yeah, gravity doesn't affect you as much the older you get. That's why old people just float away. That's why the Earth Kage can just fly around.
That should totally be a rule in Naruto.
He's so old, gravity just does not affect him anymore.
This chapter proves this pretty well.
Okay, so Obito's dead. We're quickly moving towards endgame here.
Yep.
There are not very many more people they can kill. Sakura.
I think maybe Kakashi's the only one left who will die. I don't think he will. But I think it's, like, possible. I like how the gravity is even affecting Naruto's chakra balls. Like, why would it do that?
They're on the ground.
Yeah. Like, they're made of chakra. I would assume they have no physical weight.
I'm guessing Kaguya changes venue again. Although, wait, is this the fifth one? There were supposed to be five dimensions. I think we've seen all the other ones.
I think there were seven, weren't there?
Were there?
I don't know. There was lava.
Snow.
Snow.
Desert.
Sand. Poison.
Gravity.
Gravity.
Okay, I guess that's six. Maybe there's one more. Oh, maybe the regular dimensions one. You know, where like Konoha is and all that.
Yeah, for some reason this dimension is the only one that actually had people. I thought Acid Planet would have like a real chance.
Maybe there are people there. We just don't know because acid.
Like, please save us from this hell. Why is there a vest here?
No, the vest is in Desert Planet. Come on.
All right. Because Sasuke can switch places with things.
Now.
Why doesn't he switch places with the thing that was like shooting at Obito and like then go tumbling into him?
He will never use that power again. It's his signature power that you've seen him use many times before, right?
I hope they put that next Naruto fighting game. It's the most annoying thing possible.
You just keep switching places with your opponent.
And it doesn't matter because it's a one-on-one fighter.
You just switch places with their vests and you're just like wrapped around their torso.
That would be the most amazing thing for like, you know how it sometimes does thing? Like it drops on like a log or something like that when you Kagebushin?
Yeah.
They should just have like one of his be a vest.
That's great. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
I know in the last game you could like buy different
placement
jutsu things and you get like the Kage hats and stuff. Seemed really dumb.
I never bothered with any of those.
Oh, why would you?
Yep.
They cost so much money.
They cost a ton of money.
The game is weirdly balanced.
So, I'm guessing, Obito's dead. They probably, like, this incenses Naruto to actually fight back soon.
Yeah. See an old man Obito die. We actually don't see him react to... Oh, wait, yeah. He does, too.
Yeah.
I need to scroll down a little bit.
Read the rest of the manga.
Yes. Oh my god, there's another page. Obito dies, ah!
I like how Kakashi's like, wait a second, this happened before. Stop doing this. Stop saving me at your own life.
People around Kakashi really love to die to protect him.
Yeah. For the strongest ninja ever, he has a lot of people just dying to take his bullets. Well, not the strongest ninja ever, but he's top brass at Konoha.
Yeah. Okie doke.
Yeah. That's yeah, it was a good chapter. Except for, like, the weird part of, like, the gravity dimension?
Sure. Why not?
I wonder if it, just, like, has just a series of traps, each deadlier than the last.
I do like that it's, like, earth, fire, water, or, you know, ice, acid, gravity.
Yeah, acid was one's heart. It didn't work out too well. It wasn't a very good trap.
Stomach acid.
So we just had to move it down a little bit. All right.
Okay.
That was Naruto.
That was an extremely awkward podcast of two people.
Yeah, it worked out. It was fine.
It was fine. God damn it. God damn it, Robin.
This has been your Friday, July 25th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming. Or Guy? Thank you for coming.
Yeah, there's two of me. I've turned into Lloyd Royd.
Aw, oh, shit. And we'll see you all next week.
Bye. Okay, we should probably start.
All right.
Awkward cast. Go.
Yep. How do I usually start this? Lack of three people is ruining this.
Just this is Jump manga.